Grass is fine if you've got a cut or 4 feet and stand in the mud. But we've got 2 and teeth to chew. Don't give us none of that vegetarian stew. We're carnivores and we ain't ashamed. The reason's simple, it's in the refrain. We feed you.
Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 31 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling the World Wheat O'Clock Report. Every month, I go through more than a dozen issues of periodicals or newspapers. Not every issue has articles that directly impact the Pacific Northwest wheat industry, but certainly each one has articles that Pacific Northwest wheat farmers, their landlords, and agribusinesses would find interesting. The Wheat O'Clock Report, which I hope to make a recurring feature of this podcast, includes international and domestic news about events, products, and trends impacting our favorite crop. It's how I imagine wheat might be treated if people really understood how crucial it was to feeding the planet. I'm going to shy away from markets and politics. My experience of either one is that anything I say today is going to be old news by the time this hits the air, and I like information with a longer shelf life. Without further ado, I present the World Wheat O'Clock Report. Hello, I'm Scott Yates with today's World Wheat O'Clock Report. The major headline, how low does it go? The dollar hit its lowest level against the euro and Swiss franc in more than a year recently. The more than 10-month low is the result of an overseas reaction to the political climate in the U.S. But the lower dollar is good for agriculture because it makes U.S. commodities less expensive for our overseas buyers to purchase. In the 2015-2016 marketing year, the strong dollar dramatically shrunk wheat exports. Forging ahead. The U.S. may have pulled out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but the 11 other countries that were a part of the PAC continue to negotiate. Although the details of a TPP-11 treaty are not yet clear, if it's based on the TPP-12, the U.S. could find itself at a $60 to $80 a ton disadvantage to Canada and Australia wheat when it comes to selling into Japan. China swallows, Syngenta gulps. Shareholders of the Swiss-based agricultural giant Syngenta recently approved the $43 billion takeover by China National Chemical Corporation, known as ChemChina. The transaction means the communist nation will play a greater role in the food supply chain of the U.S. and other countries. But the biggest change will be felt in China, where the purchase is expected to revolutionize the country's domestic farming techniques. Can anyone say GMOs? What about hybrid wheat? The welcome mat? You may have missed it, but in 2014, the Chinese government said the country needed to make more rational use of international agricultural markets and welcomed more imports. Since then, China has ended guaranteed minimum prices for cotton, soybeans, corn, and sugar, reducing domestic production and prices and setting the country up to import more. Grain production in China in 2016 fell for the first time in 13 years. Also during the 2016-2017 marketing year, China purchased 228,000 metric tons of soft white wheat, making the country the 5th most important Pacific Northwest customer, behind the Philippines at number 1, Japan at number 2, Korea at number 3, and Yemen at number 4. Although China has ample supplies of grain in its strategic reserves now, that inventory is expected eventually to run out, triggering a rise in demand for imports. It's shrinking! America's share of global corn, soybean, and wheat exports has shrunk by more than half since the mid-1970s. U.S. supplies make up about 40% of world exports, down from more than 70% 3 decades ago. U.S. farmland has shrunk by 12%, or 46 million acres since 1982, partly due to urban development. But in 2015, more than $300 billion in agricultural economic output directly supported more than 1 million jobs. Domestically, farmers produce three-quarters of Americans' food and remain one of the few industries that exports more than it imports. Trade Team Mecca. Wheat trade teams from Taiwan, Japan, Chile, China, and Korea have visited Washington State since June 1st, with more coming during the harvest season. Hosting trade teams is a way for the Washington Grain Commission to make connections with new overseas buyers and deepen connections with those who have been long-term partners. Lifelong friend. Mark Fowler has been named Vice President of Overseas Operations at U.S. Wheat Associates. Fowler is well known among wheat circles, a miller who worked in Latin America and the Caribbean for Cargill and then Seaboard. Fowler later spent 12 years at Kansas State University as a milling specialist and associate director of the International Grains Program Institute. Vince Peterson, president of U.S. Wheat Associates, made Fowler's selection, calling him a lifelong friend to the industry. Fowler said he was excited, quote, to advance the U.S. wheat export market development mission, end quote. Cookies and bees. Mondelez International, an arm of Mondelez, the world's largest snack company, is buying wheat under contract from French farmers who commit to using 50 advanced agricultural practices set out by the company, including setting aside 3% of their land to put in crops that will attract honeybees. The so-called Harmony wheat currently accounts for 75% of soft white wheat used in Mondelez's European cookie brands. The program has more than 2,200 cooperating farmers across the continent. The company has also set up a special wheat program among Michigan's soft wheat farmers to identify trends in wheat agronomic performance in order to leverage improvements. And now, a word from our sponsor. The Washington Grain Commission was created in 2009 with the merger of the Washington Wheat Commission and the Washington Barley Commission. The Washington Wheat Commission was established by farmers in 1958 to help guide research, marketing, and educational priorities for the industry. Funding for the commission comes from farmers paying an assessment of 0.75% net selling price on each bushel of wheat and 1% for each bushel of barley they produce. The commission is made up of a 10-member board, 7 of whom are farmers, along with 2 industry representatives and a representative from the Washington State Department of Agriculture. In May of 2017, the commission approved a budget of $6.3 million for the marketing year, which began June 1st. Welcome back. And now the news from the Breakfast Beat. Breakfast is evolving. You can have it anytime, anywhere. Older people particularly like breakfast. The strong, sweet, or salty taste that accompanies a breakfast of eggs, bacon, pancakes, and buttered toast cater to seniors' taste buds, which actually decline with age. Yes, that's right, you lose taste buds too. But that's important news to wheat farmers because flour is used in pancakes and toast, which are breakfast standards. But there are breakfast storm clouds on the horizon. A new report found that more and more consumers are eating their breakfast during their commutes to the office, requiring new breakfast choices. Nearly 60% of U.S. consumers reported eating breakfast during their morning commute. More importantly, for soft white wheat farmers in the Pacific Northwest, the trend extends to Latin America, where the Washington Grain Commission has been pushing sales. Research from Euromonitor revealed that 50% of Mexican commuters eat in their cars and 30% of Colombian commuters. Morphine. That's what industry magazine Milling and Baking News called evolving breakfast innovation from breakfast cookies to breakfast sandwiches. One of the newest wheat product offerings features a yogurt creme between 2 whole grain cookies. Greek yogurt sandwiches are gaining popularity in South Korea. In other Asian markets, Greek yogurt-infused breakfast pastries are gaining adherence as eaters learn more about probiotics. Eat on the go. It's a trend North American companies are also seeking to exploit. Ace Bakery, a unit of Weston Foods Limited, is bringing the baguette bagel to market. The company said its product, which resembles a bagel but is made with a baguette recipe, will fit into a toaster easier than a sliced baguette. Soft white wheat excels in blends for making baguettes. Three meals a day? Snacking is becoming the American way of life. For cereal makers who expect people to sit down with a bowl, milk, and a spoon, that's not good news. Three meals a day dates back to the Greeks, while snacking dates back only 100 years and started at circuses and fairs. More than 50% of Americans snack three or more times a day, up from 20% in the 1990s and 10% in the 1970s. Organic wheat's ups and downs. Prior to the run-up in wheat prices in 2008, more Northwest farmers were looking at growing organic wheat to make ends meet. After the rise in wheat prices made conventional farming profitable, organic acreage dropped. In an era of $4 and something a bushel soft white wheat, could organic production rebound? Nationally, certified organic operations for all crops climbed to 24,650 in 2016, up 13% from the end of 2015. That 13% increase represents the highest year-over-year growth since 2008. A Nielsen survey released earlier this year showed that organic food items were found in more than 80% of households in 2016. Total organic sales in the U.S. in 2015 were pegged at just shy of $40 billion, up 11% from the year before. Robobank estimates an annual organic growth rate of 6.7% in the U.S. until 2025. Farming the sun. No, it's not science fiction. It's already happening. Farmland is being rented for solar projects, but the idea is controversial. Several Washington counties have already imposed temporary moratoriums on installing solar arrays on farmland. Although some farmers are installing solar panels on patches of ground to help offset energy costs, others are renting out entire fields to solar companies. A recent advertisement in the Idaho Grain Producers magazine from a solar system offered up to $1,250 an acre a year of a minimum 150 acres. Fountain of Youth? Would you take a pill that offered an 18% reduction in mortality? A new study has revealed there is a strong biological relationship between drinking coffee and longevity, and found mortality was inversely related to coffee consumption for heart disease, cancer, respiratory disease, stroke, diabetes, and kidney disease. The studies are not conclusive that coffee enhances longevity and reduces inflammation. It could just be coffee drinkers are naturally healthier. Where's that 16 pounds? Gluten-free pizza continues to make inroads into the wheat industry. Papa John's is the latest company entering the market, testing crust made from ancient grains in select markets. Recently, it was revealed that per capita consumption of wheat in the U.S. has decreased from 133 pounds per year to 131 pounds in 2016. 30 years ago, per capita consumption of wheat in the U.S. was 147 pounds. In 1880, per capita consumption of wheat in the U.S. was 225 pounds. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Land, the equivalent of 2.2 million football fields, is devoted to wheat production each year in eastern Washington. An acre of land is about the size of a football field. Thanks to the region's consistent climate and rich soils, Washington annually ranks either fourth or fifth among states that produce wheat and usually has one of the highest per acre yields. About 80% of Washington's production is in soft white wheat, which makes a low protein flour used in cakes, cookies, sponge cakes, steam breads, flatbreads, tortillas, and other products. The other 20% of production is in the hard or bread type wheats, including hard red spring and hard red winter wheat. The state is also the region's largest producer of club wheat, a subclass of soft white with weak gluten functionality that is particularly useful in blends to produce fine crumb products like sponge cake. Washington farmers plant more certified seed, more than 90%, than any other state in the nation, and every wheat variety is evaluated for quality. And we're back. To bake where no one has baked before. A mission to bake bread on the International Space Station sometime between June and November 2018 will be the first time bread has been consumed, let alone baked, in space since 1965. That's when two Gemini 3 astronauts had sandwiches as they orbited the Earth, the crumbs of which flew everywhere in zero gravity, endangering the spacecraft's electrical systems. Bread has been banned in space since. But the smell of baking bread is now considered an important psychological factor for long-duration trips, like a mission to Mars or even a moon base. Dying to leave. Federal data reveals that in 2013, for the first time since such universal birth registration began in the 1930s, more people in rural America died than were born. While cities were America's basket case in the 1980s, making them the nation's slowest growing and most troubled places to live, today many key measures of economic well-being are lower in rural areas. Of the four major population subdivisions, big cities, suburbs, medium and small metro areas, and rural now ranks the lowest. We're growing! Nearly 260,000 acres of cropland have been added in Washington over the last 8 years, with an estimated 7.35 million acres expected in plant production by 2020. Acres of vineyard grew 58% from 2008 to 2016 to 56,800 acres. In western Washington, cropland grew by 82,000 acres to about 290,000 acres. Cropland in eastern Washington grew by 176,000 acres to about 7 million acres. About 96% of the state's cropland is located east of the Cascades. A long read. A nearly 600-page book entitled Advances in Dryland Farming in the Inland Pacific Northwest is available from Washington State University Extension. The book, which can be downloaded, comes in 12 chapters, including soil health, crop residue management, soil amendments, precision agriculture, and disease management, among others. Finally tonight, cougars are number one. Of the 44 specialty license plates issued by the State Department of Licensing, which honors everything from former prisoners of war to professional firefighters and breast cancer awareness, the number one specialty license in the state is, drumroll, Washington State University. According to recent figures, WSU license plates account for nearly 23,000 of the 148,000 specialty plates in the state. Costs and fees for the plates vary, but $28 of each one goes toward WSU scholarships. In the 2016-2017 academic year, more than $613,000 was collected. That's it for this edition of the World Wheat O'Clock Report. I'm Scott Yates, hoping you'll tune in again for more international and domestic news about our favorite crop. And I'm back. That is the Scott Yates, who is Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission. In that capacity, I just want to remind you that the Washington Grain Commission's latest annual report will be available in the August-September issue of The Wheat Life, coming to your mailbox the first week in August. Be sure to review the 7-page package to learn how the WGC budget was put together and how commissioners are working to enhance exports, direct research, and educate eaters. As anyone in eastern Washington's wheat industry knows, it's harvest season, when long hours are spent alone in a combine. Give the combine driver you love the gift of Wheat All About It! Next time you're at a location with good Wi-Fi, show them how to download Wheat All About It episodes quickly to listen to later. What could be more perfect? Learning about the wheat industry while you're combining the crop. That's it for episode 31 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling the World Wheat O'Clock Report. Hope you enjoyed the show and will join us again next time for another episode of Weed All About It!